right. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles tonight. We'll begin in 2 Kings, and we'll begin in chapter 22. And we'll be going back between 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles 34. We're so thankful. It's like different facets of the diamond in speaking of these kings. It's wonderful how the Lord allows us to, again, just be so enriched with double portion all over the Word of God. But we left off, let's just go ahead and start reading 2 Kings chapter 22 and from verse 19. And this is Josiah again. And because Josiah, thine heart, and again, this is being spoken to him of the Lord, because thine heart was tender and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place. See, when we humble ourselves, when we hear the Word of God, there will always be a blessing. God blesses His Word. And aren't you thankful? And we're of the Word. So no wonder He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. So we thank God that we are blessed. And we're blessed with everything. But I thank God that we can actually enjoy the blessings by believing God. And thanking the Lord that this is all about the Word. This is all about believing God. This is all about God's grace and His mercy. And this wasn't because of anything that any person did to merit this favor. This was all because of the Word of God and its effect upon Josiah's life. The Word did it. Josiah didn't come this way or do something to receive the Word. The Word met him. The Word sought him. The Word called him. The Word chose him. The Word spoke to him. Amen? And in that, praise God, the grace of God caused his heart to be humbled, for that Word to ravish his heart. That's you, perfect kings. That's what this has done. This is how God does it. He doesn't change. Thank him. Rejoice. Praise his name. And truly, this is the response of the perfect kings. If it was Hezekiah or Josiah, their response was just thanksgiving to God. It wasn't, what can I do? It was, Lord, just do it. Amen? And God gave that vision to them. God brought it all forth, but it was because of this thankfulness. So because thy heart was tender, because thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes. You rent thy clothes. You wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? How, again, he cares. He's invested in his vessels. And he wants to hear them. He wants to hear that voice come back to them. I was reading in Song of Solomon chapter 2 today, just that conversing back and forth between the bridegroom and the bride, how he loved her to respond to him, how he loved to hear her words that would come back in response to how he expressed how much he loved her. He says, behold, therefore, I will gather thee. I'm going to gather you, even though this wrath was going to be poured out upon everybody. Everything's going to stop till I receive you. So he's going to hold everything back for Josiah. And not just Josiah, but those that are there with him that believe with him. All right? Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. I just, and how glorious. And last week we went back in and we saw our parallel, our calling, that the Lord has told us. We're children of the day. We're children of light. We're not to be sleeping in the night. That's not who we are. We need to be awake and alive and looking and longing and loving his appearing, that day doesn't overtake us like a thief in the night. And praise God, we understand that that will be the company of Philadelphia. That'll be the company of Smyrna. But in Philadelphia, praise God, you're living unto the coming of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? and we will not enter into the tribulation. It says that he will keep us from that wrath. We read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That's a promise to us. We have not been appointed to it. And then, praise God, as it tells about the church of Philadelphia, it said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. I'll keep you from the tribulation. You're not going to go in or into that. You're mine. Praise the Lord. You're holding back that, and you understand what's holding it back. We're not holding it back in a sense in our doing or anything like that. It's the love that God has fostered and grown in our heart, that he's holding back everything right now, not allowing the devil to come forth like a roaring lion. That hasn't been unleashed yet. But praise the Lord, he'll take that bride to his side. Then things will begin to really unravel fast. Like it said, a travail upon a woman. Boom, here it comes. And so we're here, and the Lord gives us this encouragement that, yes, I'm not going to allow you to go in there. I'm going to gather you to your fathers, and then it will come forth. Praise God, we're going to see a lot of faith of our fathers that we've been following all these years. Isn't it going to be beautiful? So we thank God for this. So because he went after all truth, and this is the whole point, he went after all truth. We're going to read this again here in a moment. Because of that, he was spared from the wrath. As we are going to be spared from the tribulation, as we humble ourselves. And how do we humble ourselves? Just thank the Lord. Grow in grace. That's how you humble yourself. Amen. Isn't that the most humble thing that you could do? Is just to grow in the grace of God. Grow in the knowledge of his mercy. I believe that's exactly what he's doing in here. That's what the word of his grace does. You plant that bean, you're going to get beans. You plant Paul's gospel of the word of his grace, you're going to get the bride for the Lamb of God. And that's exactly how this works. So you go after all truth. You hold fast the crown of that shared glory. You let no man take it. You remain in first love with the bridegroom. Praise God, all of the other loves, which are the idols, all of those weights you lay aside, praise God, you're going to win Christ. That's it. It's just a matter of first love and thanking him and staying in this truth. Because there is no other gospel, praise his name. Now going on to chapter 23. Let's read verses 1 and 2. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. Amen. He wasn't holding anything back, did he? It wasn't like, well, I got all this, but I'll just give you some or a bit or a piece. No way. This is the perfect-hearted king. This is the Apostle Paul, as he told this to us. I have withheld nothing from you. Amen? And the Lord has withheld nothing from us because he's given us all truth. And this is that love that's shed abroad and the appreciation. And this is the evidence and the testimony of the perfect heart of grace. It goes after all truth always, and it goes after it for all. See, we don't size people up. I thank the Lord. I appreciate you preach Paul's gospel. You're going to preach salvation to eternal glory with him. Amen? It's all there. Praise the Lord. There's no gaps. There's no spaces. Everything is covered in the blood of the Lamb. And I thank God for it. But you just preach the word. He gives the increase. You don't size folks up and say, well, they need this and they need this and they got to go to class one to two to what? You're dealing with God. You're dealing with God. You're not dealing with man's mind. You don't organize this stuff out. This is the Lord. And he brings the increase. He sparks your heart with love. You will want to hear. You'll want to gather. You'll want to study. You'll be thinking about it. And then something will come upon your heart and say, I've got to go look at that again. I've got to go look that back up. Or, what is that that you're telling me? And everything stops. I know we've got work. I know we've got things going on. But I'll tell you what, love stops everything. Now, that's the evidence, and that's the testimony, brothers and sisters. It wants all to fellowship in this. The perfect heart desires others to hear it. Oh, yes. And to gather with others. That's what this brother did. Did you see how he brought everybody in? All of those of like precious faith. And their fellowship was only in that full covenant. See, that's what's glorious. It was all about them knowing all truth. I thank God for this meeting. I thank God for how we have teachers that take our children's church. When we're having our church up here, we have those series of lessons that God has given those to us. Gave those to me a long time back when the Lord called me to pastor. It was immediate. I always kind of thought like Handel and the Messiah. He went in and shut himself apart for 10 days and was visited by God. I think it was like 10 minutes and boom, there it was. But it was so sweet because the Lord just laid it all out. Honey, here it is. You give them all truth. And so we have all of those things going forth to those young children. And I thank the Lord as I was brought to this years later. I said, well, Lord, you did this. You brought this to all of them. It didn't matter if they were great or small or big or little or whatever it was. They're gathered to hear all truth. Thank you, Jesus. We have children in here that get filled with the Holy Ghost. My goodness, 6, 7, 8 years old sometimes. It's marvelous. We don't have time to think. We have time to praise. We have time to worship. Let God do it. Let him speak. Let him do these things. It's amazing what he will accomplish. Amen. Let's go on. Verse 3 here. And this is so sweet here because we get another bridal encouragement about this king. So in verse 3 it says, and the king, or and King Josiah, what does he do? He stood by a pillar and he made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all. Now they put in their heart, but you'll understand when we go back over to 2 Chronicles, it's all heart and all soul to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people stood to the covenant. Now, this is a mighty thing, brothers and sisters, and I want you to notice here, he stood by the pillar. That's where he gives his heart back to the covenant of the Lord. Amen. The covenant back. I thank God, our covenant that we have is a marriage covenant, and that's what that is. He came to us with the covenant or the promise. Did he not promise, I will perform the good work which I've begun? Amen. We know what good work Paul's talking about, don't we? And we know what covenant that is because we do have that promise upon us. And that promise is that the Father is searching for the true worshiper that worships him in spirit and in truth. We're in the time that the bride for the Lamb of God is being visited. And at the time, praise God, of the message, the ministry that the Lord sent the servant to speak to the one at the well, will you go? So this is that time. And that covenant or that contract or that agreement is signed right at that moment. I'll take him as my spouse. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we have that going forth. And so here we have in the covenant that he stood by the pillar. Now, this means something to us. These little words mean a lot. And now turn on over to Revelation chapter 3, and you'll understand why this pillar strums upon our heart that he stood by when he speaks, in a sense, the love covenant of all truth back to God, saying, I will go, I will follow you, and I will, by the grace of God, go all the way. And here, look at what it says in verse 12. Again, of the Philadelphia church. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. See, they stood, didn't they? They stand, they remain, and that's the image, and that's the value of the pillar. It just stands. It withstands. Having done all, stand. Praise God. Affixed to what? To the foundation. Everything comes out of that. All the beauty that's built upon comes off of that foundation to the pillars. And there's the structure. There's everything. All the strength. Thou hast a little strength. I'll tell you what, pillars are mighty strong. They're stout, they're big, they're tall, they go up, but they support it all this marvelous structure. But it's because they're affixed, they do not move, and they stand on the rock that is higher than high. And how glorious this is, brothers and sisters, that he said, he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. I will write upon him my new name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And once again, it goes right to verse 13. You have to read that. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So once again, it was just like Josiah. He heard the word. He heard the word, and it humbled him. He heard the word, and it ravished his heart. He heard the word, and he rent his clothes. Everything came from hearing the word of the Lord. Amen. Everything came from that encouragement, all of that grace, because it was complete grace. Why did God choose Josiah? Because I'll be gracious upon whom I'll be gracious. He had the most wicked dad. He had a lineage of wicked, but there was a promise of God that was upon his life. It was going to come down through that lineage. It was coming from the seed of David. It wasn't going to go anywhere else. And then you think we have even a better promise. And you can say, well, wait a second. I didn't come off of this line or that line or whatever. Yes, you did. You came off of the bloodline. And the bloodline is that he saw you in ages past in him. Praise the Lord. In love. Before the foundation of the world. What kind of line is that? So you thank God? Was it going to be anybody but David? Well, then can you take that place? That praise God, this is me. I'm the receiver of the new name. I thank the Lord. I praise God. I believe that in so many different ways where the Lord Jesus is saying to us, greater things than I did ye shall do. And this is because, brothers and sisters, we don't necessarily have our name. There isn't Jesse O'Dorsio written in there or, you know, the different ones of us and all. But we have to have faith, amen, and believe God. And I thank God it's not an individual, it's a company, and she's one. But we take it as individuals, but by the grace of God, we move as one. And that's why I thank the Lord. Sunday, by the grace of God, oh my, if we get there. But I just thank him. You talk about songs and all these different things. I don't want to drift, but I'm going in all different places, but the love of Christ constrained me. Amen. So these little things, brothers and sisters, are the nuggets that take us deep and keep us in the mother lode of hope and joy. I think God gives us these things to get us to rent our clothes over and over. What do you think? Don't you think so? I do. Aren't you thankful when you really hit you? And you're just, oh my goodness, God, this is me. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to note this. That they rejoice, and they rejoice in this because of how they're loved. And again, he puts that in us. He loves that response, brothers and sisters. He loves us to praise him. He loves us to thank him. He loves us to draw nigh unto him, and that's what this is all about. Now, did you notice here, when we go back there to 2 Kings, where it says he performed the words? Now, that was something. That's a big statement there. Matter of fact, it never says that statement about anywhere else in the Word of God except regarding Josiah. And it does three different times. Right there it says, and all soul to perform the words of this covenant. Now, oh my, we know his promise to us, I will perform. We know that Josiah is just like us too. He couldn't do anything. But it's amazing when we go on with God, we transform from glory to glory, even into the very image of him. Where this is going and where the Lord just so touched my heart, brothers and sisters, as we go on with this encouragement of the Lord and filled with all the fullness of God, he's God. He is the God. He is the head. There is no other gods but him. Amen. He's it. And we thank the Lord as he's the head, but yet he's enjoined us to him as the body. And I thank God that as we take that place with him, he causes us to move in sync with him. He causes us to be like him. I want you to go with me to Revelation 14, chapter 14. And I think it's actually verse 14 too, but let's see here. Now we're jumping all the way around here. We're going a lot of different places tonight, but what's time to God? Amen. So now we're right here in the Battle of Armageddon. So we're kind of nearing the end of the seven-year tribulation, all right? And in 14:14, what we have that the Lord has encouraged us and shown us is that there's a company of seven angels. And we understand that that company of seven angels is a representation of the bridal company. And we see that all the way through Revelation. We see in different aspects and places where it says one of the angels is showing John around. And ever so often, John bows down and starts worshiping that angel. And that angel says, "See that you do it not. I'm redeemed. I'm your brother." Amen. That obviously, angels aren't redeemed and they're not my brother. They're angels. But this is speaking of a messenger. This is speaking of a place. And we see through all of the encouragement that those seven angels are another representation of the company of the bride of Christ. And here in verse 14 of chapter 14 of Revelation, we're seeing this bride and the lamb and how synced they are, how locked in they are with one another, and how they move and rule and reign jointly together. Okay, now listen to this. "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle." This is Jesus Christ. This is getting ready for the moment, praise God, that Armageddon's going to happen. Amen. That he's going to thrust that sickle in. This is the winepress. This is there in Song of Solomon chapter 8, where the Shulamite says, "Let's get up early and go down to the vineyard. It's ready." Amen. This is the honeymoon. It truly is. Believe it or not, this is the beauty. My wonderful spouse is going to be magnified in the fullest. Hallelujah. Judgment has come. And this is a glorious time. And so we see as he says, I see the one with the golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. Now listen to this. "And another angel came out of the temple." And always remember this. That's those seven angels. They're the only ones that ever come out of the temple, out of that place of the Holy of Holies. And remember that, because we're going to talk about that in just a second, about again that Holy of Holies or holy place when we go back to Josiah. And you're going to see another encouragement to our heart about the bridal company. But it says, "And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, that said, Thrust in thy sickle and reap." Isn't that beautiful? That's just like a husband and wife. Wife come out there, "You do this. It's glorious." And he's going to do it anyways, but she's telling him, "Thrust it in, honey. Go, go, go. It's so wonderful. For the time is come." And we're almost there. And how glorious is this going to be? "For thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in the sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped." Now get this. "And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle." So here we have this wonderful bridal company participating exactly in lockstep, doing the same thing as Christ Jesus, the bridegroom, the King of Kings, hallelujah, Lord of Lords. And what does it say about that another angel? "So another angel came out from the altar, which had power." And let me just go back and finish 17. "And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, gathered the vine of the earth, cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God, and the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Amen. Oh, what we got coming. This is so beautiful, and this is, again, as we're speaking of here, of performing the words, this is where Josiah steps into, not that he has any strength of himself, but what the Lord can will and do of his good pleasure in his vessels of mercy. And this is exactly what this brother represents to us. And thank you, God, that we have this place with him, and he assures us in this. Now, let's go back to 2 Chronicles 35, and 34. And we'll keep going. We're going to read this same glory, like I say, from a different angle of the diamond here. In 2 Chronicles 34, we'll begin reading from verse 27. All right? And it says there, again, speaking to Josiah, the same moment, because thine heart was tender, thou didst humble thyself before God, when what? When thou heard his words. Against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and because you humbled thyself before me and rent thy clothes and wept before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to the grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. Like I say, no other king experienced this. This is it. And that's why I thank the Lord that no other company, praise God, but this bridal company, hallelujah, of Philadelphia. Because we thank the Lord, the Smyrna saints, they're asleep in Christ right now. And they're going to rise first. But the Philadelphia saints will experience exactly like what Josiah has experienced here. I'm going to prevent you from seeing that wrath, honey. I love you. I'm going to gather you up to thy fathers before any of that's going to break forth. So he said, then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. All. Isn't that glorious? It just keeps pouring forth that there was nothing held back. Now let's keep going. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant. See it there again, which are written in this book. So Christ-like. That's what Jesus can do in our lives. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. That means to remain. Perfect hearted kings, do you know how much strength the Lord brings through your life? Do you know how your life causes my life and my life causes your life to stand? It's marvelous, isn't it, honeys? I mean, it just is. The Lord, he's brought us as little coals in the fire. And I thank God. That's why the Lord tells us to assemble ourselves the much, the more, as we see that day approaching. So it says, and to stand in it, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, according to the covenant of God, the God of their Father. And we're standing in truth according to the covenant. We're not just standing. We're not just playing a game here. We're standing in the promise, in the covenant, in the agreement. Thank the Lord. We stand, praise God, as those pillars right now in the house of the Lord, of those of Philadelphia. That's the place that he's called us to. That's the place that we take. And it says, and Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertain to the children of Israel. Now, there's something very special about that and an encouragement to us. Brothers and sisters, what this encourages our hearts is that when all of the abominations are taken out of the countries, this was speaking of the idols. This was speaking of the false gods. This was speaking of a chaste virgin to Christ. He didn't come to the people and say, okay, here's all the rules and law that we're going to lay down that you have to do. That wasn't it. It was about loving the truth. It was about not being entangled with other loves. It wasn't about having any false gods at all. It was one thing. And it says, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God, and all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. They remained. There's your first love. That's why they were all taken out with Josiah before the wrath hit, because they remained in it. It wasn't that they experienced it for a moment and said, oh, this is great, we've seen it, it's beautiful, and then we went back to forgetting it or complacent about it. You know, let me tell you something. Their feet were held to the fire. Josiah was serious. We've been given this, saints. There's no other gospel. This is the Apostle Paul's heart. There isn't anything else. If I ever come back here and preach anything to you, he said to him, call me accursed. Get me out of here. Don't leave this. This is it. And this is how this brother, it hit him in the full purpose of what God offered to them at that day, which is so glorious, is it not? So we see again that he performed those words. Move on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And just again to enjoy what the Lord is doing in us right now by his grace. This is what's going on tonight. What we're doing right now. You know what we're doing right now? We're beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We come in here to study the glory of the Lord, don't we? We come in here to grow in the glory of the Lord, don't we? Because it's grace. That's right. All grace takes you to one place, all glory. All grace takes you to one place, to rule and reign jointly in the midst of the throne with him. What is more glory than the midst of the throne of the I Am? Honestly. What is there? There isn't. It would be a dumb thing to even try to combat that. It's it. He's God. I am that I am. The creator of everything. He spoke this into it. And here he is. I want to share my throne of glory with you. And that transformation of glory happens here. That glory is received here. It is received by grace through faith. And I love that. That precious verse that says, we're like we are, we're, you know, again, it doesn't not yet appear what we shall be. And you know why? That the glory may be of God and not of us. Amen. He's God. That's what thrills him. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. That's what's going on every time we come in here. That's what the word of God is. It's the beholding, hallelujah, and that glass is a mirror. We see, hallelujah, the new man. We see as Paul taken up into the third heaven. I glory in that man. This is the glory, what the Lord transforms us to be for him. But with all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. What happens when that happens? What's going on tonight? We're changed into the same image. We're transformed into himself. That's how that translates. Into him, in Christ, more and more into him. Amen. And understand this, praise God, he is God. And we're changed into the same image from glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So without that Holy Ghost, this transformation will never happen. He's the one that takes the things of Christ and shows them unto us. Now let's go on back to chapter 35. Cover just a few more things. And then I think maybe one more study. Then we'll close it out on this. Hallelujah. Now we've read this earlier in the studies. Josiah loved the sacrifice. Okay? We're in the 35th chapter of 2 Chronicles. What it brings into is that the Passover's coming. All right? And nobody ever does the Passover like Josiah. I mean, there is nobody that loved the blood more than he did. He loved what that represented to him, the sacrifice, more than any other king. It touched him the deepest. It went on for days. The amount of sacrifice was almost endless. It was in gladness and recognition that all by and through the blood, everything was about the blood. Praise God. And that's really our praise. Are we not those that are affixed over the mercy seat, brothers and sisters? I thank the Lord. That's what we stare at all the time, is the depth of the blessing of the grace and mercy of our God, all in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And so this is what was peered upon. This is what he rejoiced in, because the one was coming who would take away the sin of the world. It was all about the Lamb and all about the blood. All right, let's go ahead and read from chapter 35, verse 1. It said, "Moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their charges, and he encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord." Now listen to this. This is so beautiful. "And he said unto the Levites that taught all Israel, which were holy unto the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, did build." Put the ark in the house. Think of where we are in a sense of in type and shadow. The Lord has just spared him, all right? So when the Lord spares us, praise God, from going into that wrath, and at the moment of that first trump, you know what? We're going to be taken right into the house of the Lord. And we are, praise God, that mercy seat upon that ark. We're that, those cherubim, praise the Lord, out of that one piece of beaten gold. And this is what's so glorious. Who carries them in? It's the Levites. It's like the full overcomers of the Old Testament. Remember, was it the litta? Is that right, sister? How they would bring the bride in on the litter. It's called the litter. And basically, they would bring her in, and she would be brought in on... And they would carry her on these poles that lifted up this platform. And upon the platform was a throne seat. And they would bring in the bride for the bridegroom. And they would carry her in. And think of that, how they carried all the way through the Old Testament. Those Levi priests would put the ark upon those, with those staves through it. And they would carry it upon their shoulders and bring it along. And all the while that was on that ark, that bride was right there. Those cherubim were right on the top of it. Praise God. The bride for the Lamb has always been represented in that. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, he had the little ass colt on the back. He was bringing that ass colt in. And there, that little foal, it didn't have anything on it. Oh, yes, it did. In type and shadow, the king was bringing in the wife. This was all about the joy that was set before him then, that he was bringing in his wife. All of that was for, I'm going to have a wife. Praise the Lord. All of these things, it just magnifies and types and shadows. So in this little bit again, put the ark in the house of the Lord. You will not find this in any of the other kings. This is why it's so perfect for the setting that we're in. And it says in verse 4, prepare yourselves by the houses of your father. After your course, according to the writing of David, king of Israel, according to the writing of Solomon, his son. Stand in the holy place, according to the divisions of the families. You're starting to see the ranks all around her. Stand in the divisions, in the rank, in the calling, all according to what was given to Solomon. And after the divisions of the families of the Levites, first six. So kill the Passover, sanctify yourselves, prepare your brethren, that they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And praise God, we do by the hand of the Lord according to the word of Paul. Amen. Amen. This is the height of it. And Josiah gave. Now look at this. This is what's so beautiful. This is how Christ-like the perfect-hearted kings are. And Josiah gave to the people of the flock, lambs and kids, all for the Passover offerings, for all that were present, to the number of 30,000 and 3,000 bullocks. These were of the king's substance. He even gave the animals to the people to bring back to sacrifice. He didn't sit there and say, well, well, you got to go get your own or whatever. No. The conduit to give, to cherish. And that's why I thank the Lord of what he's working in this place. Brothers and sisters, we want everybody to come. We want everybody to win Christ. This was like Abel bringing in the lamb. God gave him it to bring it. He brought it in with thankfulness and joy. And once again, do we see that the Lord has given us everything we have, everything we could ever bring, everything we could ever give? It's all by him, through him, to him. Whether it's love, brothers and sisters, do we know that it's his love? The praise that we have, it's his praise. The glory that we have, it's his glory. And especially never forget that the faith that we have is the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We are so fully equipped. I thank God. I don't have to worry about what to bring him. He's given me everything to bring. I show up. I'm his vessel of mercy. We'll just close with those verses in John. He wound me up just a little bit tonight. How could we not be? It's like a spiritual workout here. John 15:5. That's why you pray for my wife. She's got to take me home. All right. Now, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Amen. Read verse 16 with me. Ye have not chosen me, man, he got me right there to get you every time. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now, and we're just beginning, honey, and ordained you. You talk about an anointing, brothers and sisters. You're anointed. That ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, do you understand why we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ? That's why we have it. And what are all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ? I would have to say that's faith and joy and love and grace and peace. And if I've been blessed with them from him, he gave me everything. And he gave me everything of his. And I am so thankful that without him, I can do nothing. It is my praise. It is my rejoicing. I thank the Lord. I am a vessel of mercy forever and ever and ever. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus.